The fourth meditation, the person of Jesus. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, John the Baptist makes this profound statement. There is one standing in your midst whom you do not know. I think perhaps if John the Baptist were here right now at this moment in this group, that he would probably make the same statement. There is one standing in your midst whom you do not know. Jesus Christ promised that he would never abandon us, but would stay with us all days, even to the end of time. And so he is present right here in our midst at this time. How do you feel about your relationship with Jesus? Does he seem real to you, really alive and present here and now? How often do you carry on a conversation with him each day? Perhaps after Holy Communion? Perhaps when you are alone driving in your car or out walking? Or perhaps when you awaken in the middle of the night? What can we do to make Jesus more real to us? It is not easy to experience him as a real living person with whom we can relate just as truly as we relate to another human being here upon earth. I think it is important that our relationship with Jesus is an authentic relationship. We cannot relate to the infant Jesus, for example. He existed as an infant in Bethlehem, but that was 2,000 years ago. The Jesus that we relate to is the risen Lord Jesus, the Jesus of Easter Sunday. But it is the same Jesus that walk the dusty roads of Galilee. We need to keep a good balance between the humanity of Jesus and his divinity. We must never forget that he is both God and man without any admixture of the two natures, fully human as well as fully divine. One of the scenes in the gospel that especially helps me to do this is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. It is the story of the storm at sea. We're told that Jesus had been preaching all day and was very tired when evening came. And instead of going back into the crowd of people that were just waiting to touch him and to make contact with him, he asked the disciples to take him in the boat just as he was sitting there talking to the people, and that they should go across to the other side. And we're told that Jesus laid down on a cushion in the stern of the boat and went fast asleep. And during the night as they were rowing, a terrible storm came up and their boat began to ship water, and there was real danger of them drowning. But Jesus sleeps through it all. And so we have here an example of total humanity, a person that can sleep so soundly that he doesn't even hear the roaring of the waves and the yelling of the men as they took down the sail and tried to turn into the wind to prevent it from being capsized. And so one of them comes and they have to shake Jesus to awaken him and said, "Master, does it not concern you that we're all going to drown and perish?" And then we see suddenly his divinity. Jesus awakens, stands up, and speaks to the wind and to the water and says, "Be still." And immediately there was a great calm. Humanity and divinity. We see this constantly throughout his public life, and it is present to us today. We need to develop our favorite scenes in the gospel, which means we have to become very familiar with the words that the gospel writers tell us about Jesus. There is a scene in the gospel for every possible mood that we might be in. And so through a familiarity with these different scenes in the gospel, Jesus comes alive and becomes very real to us, someone with whom we can be very comfortable, that we can make contact with. We find that there's a scene where Jesus, after he had been working and healing all the people one evening after the Sabbath, that they all went to sleep in Peter's house. And then, according to Mark's gospel, long before daylight, Jesus awakens and steps over the sleeping bodies of the disciples and goes out the door into the cool morning air and then goes to the top of the hill and there prays alone. Jesus had his favorite places to pray, and it seems that very often they were on the top of a mountain or top of a hill. He had his favorite times to pray. It seems to have been at night time. Jesus had his favorite friend. We know how he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We know how he loved Peter and James and John, and how he depended upon them and sought their help. We know that Jesus enjoyed good food and good drink. In fact, they even accused him of being a glutton and a wine bibber. This, of course, was an exaggeration, but it meant that Jesus was so very human, so much like us. We know that he could become angry and upset, sad and discouraged. We know that he failed many times. He didn't always succeed. For example, when he went back to Nazareth, he was a complete flop, a total failure. We know that he could laugh and enjoy life, and yet he could weep at the tomb of Lazarus. We know how he must have loved children and how children were attracted to him, and how he would take them on his lap and embrace them. We know his concern for people who were in trouble, people who were in pain, people who were sinful. We know also how hurt and disappointed he was when 9 of the 10 lepers that he had healed failed to come back and thank him. We know that when he did something, he did it well. For example, when he changed the water into wine, it was the best wine that they had ever tasted. He had pity on the crowds who were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. He befriended Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, the publican, the mentally sick, the poor, the Samaritan woman, the outcasts, the publicans or tax collectors. We know, too, that he was upset when the apostles failed to comprehend his teaching, and he was so deeply hurt when Judas betrayed him. One of the ways that has helped me to develop a personal friendship with Jesus Christ is to write Jesus a love letter each day. This is what I call my spiritual journal, and it is the first thing that I do when I awaken, either in the night or in the morning. It's simply an ordinary notebook that I simply say, "Dear Jesus," and then I just talk to him. I tell him what's on my mind. I thank him for the blessings of yesterday. I ask his help for the day. I thank him for the gift of a new day, and so on and on. Whatever is on my heart and on my mind, I share it with him. And I have found this spiritual journal or this love letter to Jesus each day has been the most effective means in my whole life to help me, first of all, to develop a great intimacy with Jesus, and secondly, to maintain it and even to help it to grow and increase as the years have gone by. Since the Jesus that we know today is the risen Lord Jesus, we should especially be attracted to those different scenes in the Gospels that tell us about what Jesus did after his resurrection. And I would like to call your attention to just two of them. One of them is in the 20th chapter of John. It's the meeting between Jesus and Mary Magdalene there by the empty tomb. We are told that Mary is weeping profusely, and Jesus, without her realizing it, approaches her and asks her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She does not recognize him at first. She's so overcome with sorrow. And so she thinks he's the gardener and says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where he is and I will come and get him." And then we're told that Jesus speaks the name Mary. There must have been a special love with which Jesus used the first name of his friends. And Mary immediately realizes who it is. And we are told that she grasps him by the feet and holds him so tightly that he has difficulty in getting away. He says, "Do not hold me so tightly, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brethren that I will precede them into Galilee, that I ascend to my Father and to your Father." Jesus comes to Mary Magdalene even before he goes to the Father. What a tremendous story of love that is. And the other scene is in the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We are told there that Jesus approaches them and their eyes are held. They do not recognize him. But he opens the scripture to them. And as they said later, were not our hearts burning within us as he opened the scriptures to us? And we are told that as they approached the town where they were going, Jesus made as though he were to go on. And they pressed upon him. They said to him, "The day is far spent, the night is at hand. Come and remain with us." Jesus did not need a second invitation. He was just waiting for the invitation. What a tragedy that would have been if they had failed to invite him in. Jesus would have passed on out of their life without them realizing who it was. And so it is for us today that unless we take time to invite Jesus to come and be with us, the day is far spent, the night is at hand, come and dwell with us. Unless we do that, Jesus is going to pass on and we will miss this opportunity of experiencing his presence. He's just waiting for an invitation. So let us open our hearts now to him and invite him to come and dwell with us. This is the end of the fourth meditation on the person of Jesus.